Welcome into the Maggie and Perloff Show. Perloff here in New York. Maggie in the home studio today. And Maggie, you know that I'm old school, right? I'm as old school as they come.
I always say that about you.
Yeah, old school. It's Smash Mouth football. That's why I'm so into the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. They are just winning by not scoring and beating up the other team. It's awesome. It's everything we want out of a Mike Tomlin coach team. There's one thing they don't really have yet, though, Mag. That's a starting quarterback, per se.
Perloff, I don't know what you're talking about. They've got Justin Fields. He's QB1. I don't care what Mike Tomlin has to say about this, because here's the thing about Tomlin and how cagey he's kind of been about this whole starting quarterback thing. And yesterday would not say that Justin Fields is QB1. I'm sorry, did Russell Wilson, has he been starting for the Steelers for the last 7 years and I just completely missed this? Was he the incumbent? I mean, he signed a couple weeks before Justin Fields. This is not exactly staking your claim, you know, to the job. And I'll ask you, what did Russell Wilson do to win this job?
Nothing. I don't know. What about 15 years of success in the NFL? How about a Super Bowl ring? How about multiple Pro Bowl trips? How about a decent preseason, about 11 snaps? How about the fact that they promised him he'd be the starter, Maggie? That's an important part of this. You know that Tomlin promised Russell Wilson something. How about the fact that, you know what? They don't need to name a starter. They're 3-0. Everything's working. Why would you change anything right now? They have not named a starter, and they are kicking butt. I say they keep going like this, because what is the upside of naming Justin Fields QB1 for the season? Why would they do that?
Because he's winning games and he's doing everything that they asked him to do. And, you know, we talk about messages to the locker room, and maybe we can inflate that or we cannot. But I think that what is the message that it sends to your locker room, where you have a guy who's coming in who seemingly by all accounts is busting his butt?
Yeah.
He's improving. He's doing everything you ask. He's definitely playing within the offense, because there's no way he's freelancing out there, because they never throw the ball down the field, right? He's very, very rarely. So he's doing everything you ask. And the message you send to your locker room is this guy might lose his job, even though he's helping us win. He's not contributing to our losses because of reputation of another guy. And Russell Wilson is not that Hall of Fame quarterback anymore. It was fun to watch him then. He's still a good quarterback, and I bet he'll play a role at some point this season. But I don't think it's good to send the message to the locker room, hey, because this guy did something in 2014, but it's 2024, we're going to go with the 2014 version, even though that's not what the NFL is. The NFL stands for not for long. And Russell Wilson is up against his football mortality. And that's not Justin Fields' fault. He's gone in and played well. They've won games. He should get the job. He should be the starter. And if they need Russ down the line, then you need Russ down the line. But they should show a little more confidence in Fields, considering he's gotten better every week.
What if he has a bad game against the Colts this week? What if he falls? What if you name him QB1 and all of a sudden the wheels fall off on this offense? Not hard to imagine, by the way, because we've seen the Steelers' offense go fits and starts. Like last year, they fell apart completely. Right. I mean, listen, Matt Canada was their offensive coordinator and Kenny Pickett was their quarterback. But what if just this week, what if Justin Fields reverts? Because Fields also has been inconsistent. He's gone on heaters in Chicago, but then taken steps back. You never know. I mean, I was saying 3 games in, they look great, but it's 3 games in, Maggie. What if Fields has a terrible game this Sunday?
Well, if you're going to believe Mike Tomlin, Russell Wilson's not healthy enough to play. So if he has a bad game, then you're going to have to just roll with it. Unless you think this is all just some sort of, you know, the calf is actually fine and they're just kind of saving face a little bit and saying that Russ isn't 100% so that they can avoid a controversy. Maybe that's true. But if Russ isn't 100%, then you've got to still show confidence, right? You still got to understand that Fields is your guy. And so for all these reasons, like, I don't think that Russell Wilson would win this job back if he was 110%. Because how can you go with a guy? How can you go away from a guy when you're winning? And by the way, do we expect it to look a lot different with Russell Wilson? This is the offense. Mm-hmm. It's not all of a sudden going to turn into this high-flying air raid. Like, they just don't have the guys to do that. Now, listen, the way that the Steelers are playing, it absolutely, you know, reinforces the fact that they should make a trade at the deadline or before for a wide receiver. What? You've got to reward this team. This team is winning. You've got to add a weapon if you can. It is totally justified. You're leading the division now. You have got to add somebody, and maybe that changes the offense a little bit, but Russell Wilson's not going to make this look fundamentally different than what Fields is doing.
Well, you just said that everything is great. Now you want to add a wide receiver. But let's listen to Mike Tomlin, because I think he explains it perfectly. There's just zero upside to naming anything long-term right now. You said it's a not-for-long league. I think Tomlin thinks the same thing, and I'm not sure he's so sold on Justin Fields.
Because there's no need. I explained to you the variables of the week. It has not changed. He's going to walk in this building with that mindset tomorrow. And so I really, there's no need to. Sometimes in this business, man, there's a myriad of complex decisions that need to be made. I've learned to make them when it's appropriate. And it's not necessary as we sit here right now.
Yeah, Maggie, there's a myriad of complex decisions. Did you hear what Mike Tomlin said?
Yeah, no, I know.
A myriad. How are you? And you just want to simplify it into he's playing well. Let's name him the starter.
How dare I?
As somebody who has been accused of being indecisive in his life, I love this. Keep all your options open. That was my mantra when I was dating before I met my wife. What's the point of committing here? Why do you want to commit?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Sarah got you guys out to a 3-0 start, and that's why you decided to keep her. Listen, I love Mike Tomlin. He's the kind of guy who would refer to your car as a vehicle. But this is the thing. With a lot of other positions, I don't think you have to do this. I don't think you have to make these kind of grand statements. Like, do we really check the depth chart when it's, you know, the starting safeties? I mean, maybe, but not for like any real reason, except for when guys are hurt. For quarterback, I think it does matter. I think that there is like this sort of pecking order. And we did say if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. And now they have one. And I'm not telling you that Justin Fields is out here lighting the world on fire, but he's one of 12 quarterbacks who have thrown one interception or less. He is not making the same type of mistakes that he was making in Chicago. And I think that needs to be rewarded to kind of show everybody, hey, he's doing the right thing. And by the way, Perloff, and I know you know this, mediocre quarterback play is very much in style this year.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we're doing in 2024.
Well, can I go a little, maybe not conspiracy theory, but there's another issue looming over this team. Justin Fields does not have a long-term contract. Do you think that's possible? And I think I'm the only one saying this. The Steelers don't want to fully commit to him, give him too many flowers, because maybe they want to keep him in a somewhat platoon situation. So when his agent comes in next March, he could say, you know, you only started 12 games. I'm not giving you $47 million a year. I think that would actually be super smart. And Omar Khan, their GM, he's pretty hardcore. I think they could pull some shenanigans around the money as well.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, that's bleak, right? Especially if they're a playoff team or if they finally win a playoff game. I mean, here's the thing. As far as the future goes, who knows? You know, who knows? Who knows if Fields is going to finish the season? It could be Russ. We don't know what the market is going to look like next year. And I don't think that the Steelers, of all the organizations, feel like they're the ones who are not going to be strong-armed. I mean, they're the ones who sat there while Le'Veon Bell said, I'm not playing. And they were like, then don't play. And he didn't play on the franchise tag. Yeah. That rarely happened. This is a franchise that will call your bluff. So if I'm Justin Fields' agent, I'm probably trying to just say, hey, put really good stuff on film here. Show that you can win with the Steelers. It's a place that Fields allegedly wanted to go. He wanted to be there. He wanted to play for Tomlin. And now he's getting his wish. I wouldn't be so worried about what's happening in 2025. Take care of 2024.
By the way, my wife was a sort of a CJ Stroud situation where I was shocked immediately. There was no doubt that was a long-term contract from day one, as you would expect.
Yeah.
So, Maggie, you're at the home studio.
Yeah.
Controversy is brewing here. Oh. I'm not going to lie to you. There are numbers flying around, different metrics. We have a show bet going on about, it's simple. Basically, if the Fever drew 2.0 million viewers on Sunday in their playoff game, the Indiana Fever this is, then I won the bet. Anything less, then you won the bet. So yesterday we got a report of this number, supposed number, I'm doing air quotes here, 1.8 million viewers on ABC, 3 p.m. Eastern. Very impressive number, but you win the bet.
Right.
So that means I have to buy breakfast for the crew.
Yeah.
You're not here.
Right.
So I can save $9 and keep you out of this. Or do we wait until you come back?
Well, I thought about this, actually, because I wasn't feeling well today. And I thought, what should I be like that person who comes into the office potentially sick and gets everyone else sick just so I can get my Egg McMuffin? And I thought about it. And I really want that Egg McMuffin. Then I was like, you know, it is 2024. Perloff could like DoorDash me breakfast to make up for this. Or how about this? Buy everybody breakfast. They're expecting it today. And you and I will settle our own bagel cream cheese situation another time.
Now you put Egg McMuffins into the ether. I think now everybody is thinking about Egg McMuffins. Everyone has to have Egg McMuffins. We actually had a conversation. Does Uber Eats deliver to your house out of the sticks? We had this discussion today.
Is that civilization by where you
live? Yeah. Can you get Uber Eats within an hour? Like, what is... We were going to send something, but also, you know, feeling a little under the weather, maybe send you something nice. We have no idea where you live. It's like,
go to the horse farm, take a left, and grab me some oats and hay, and I'll roll them into my own oatmeal. I do live in civilization. We do get DoorDash out here, but don't worry about it. I'll collect on my breakfast another time.
So if you get ordering delivery, does a horse and buggy take it down the last part of your sort of dirt road? You could actually have a car pull up to the house?
No, Jebediah comes over and slaughters a cow.
Why is it every time
then skins it and then cooks everything?
Then how come every time there's a half inch of rain, your power goes out for 3.5 weeks?
Don't say it. Everything's knock on wood going well right now with my connection. So don't jinx it.
I noticed you have in your home man cave a Bills jersey, 3-0. And then you got some Mets swag going on here, too.
Yep.
Again, this is a constant theme that I am annoyed when my coworkers' teams do well. So you are wearing these colors proudly. And I'm sorry, every time I look at you now, I see that. What is that Mets jacket thing going on?
Oh, I'm sorry, the rally pimp?
Yes.
Have you forgotten about the rally pimp?
Yeah, I tried to. But I can't remember. Was it the rally pimp or the grimace thing? What are the Mets fans desperately clinging on to these days?
Both. Rally pimp kind of came and went, but, you know, I still got the t-shirt. I came, I saw, I got the t-shirt. Grimace is still hanging around. OMG, the hit single by Joey Church's Jose Iglesias. There's a lot of different, like, rally moments right now for the Mets, but didn't matter last night, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's all reasons for America to root against one baseball team. There is some exciting baseball last night.
Yeah.
We'll get into that more, but we want to hear from you on the Steelers situation. I still am not convinced. Maggie made a compelling case. Why do you have to do anything? You're 3-0. Do not name a starter. Be totally indecisive until... And also, Russell Wilson, we haven't even really seen him practice fully. We don't know when he's going to be healthy. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. Maggie, I don't want to say this, but Andrew Bogus thinks I don't even have to buy breakfast because the number was close enough. He said 1.8 is basically 2 million. And the headlines are WNBA has a remarkable rating for week one. Like, in spirit, I think I won the bet. But I will buy breakfast. You're not here. You can't buy breakfast. And Nico's on the other side of the glass, and we need to feed this kid.
He's emaciated.
Yeah. He weighs about 97 pounds. We need about 6 Egg McMuffins for this dude. But I feel so bad. We're going to have a giant Egg McMuffin party, and you're not going to be part of it.
I know. Well, you know, this is when you decide to be a hero and stay home and not risk everyone getting sick.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, not all heroes wear capes. I'm back in the closet. I'm doing the show from the closet in New Jersey, the most depressing sentence ever uttered. I would love to be in the studio. I probably would have ordered 2 Egg McMuffins just because it's like on principle. But you know what? Like, sometimes you don't always get what you want, like the Rolling Stones says.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mag. All right, well, coming up next, Andrew Bogus tries to help me weasel out of this bet. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show. Back on the Maggie and Perloff Show, it is a breakfast party here today. I'm in the New York man cave. Maggie is in the home office. Maggie, it's weird. The entire office is empty today. Nobody's here. Cap isn't here today. I only have to buy breakfast for Nico, EJ, and Bogus, because I lost the WNBA bet. I said 2 million viewers would watch the Fever on Sunday at 3 on ABC. It was 1.8. I don't know if I even should have to buy breakfast. That's close enough. I mean, if it was golf, this would be a gimme. You would just let me walk off with that. That's a pretty darn big number on an NFL Sunday. in spirit, didn't I win this bet?
Perloff, this could there could have been 1.99999 million viewers, and there was no way I was letting you get away with this. You were buying breakfast. It had to be 2,000,001. And no, this is not how this works. This is not in spirit. You didn't make an in spirit rule or you didn't invoke any kind of clause to say in spirit. So I don't know what Bogus is talking about. This is crazy. And by the way, everyone should want you to buy breakfast because you're actually in the studio today. You could actually get breakfast for everyone.
Well, your credit card still works from New Jersey, but it's the most watched playoff game in the WNBA since 2000, which is funny because it's not even one of the top five most watched games of the year. That is a giant number. I wonder, will this be in non-Caitlin Clark games too? I watched the Liberty last night. There was nothing on. Good game against Atlanta. I'm just curious how the ratings will go. Or, you know, when they're not going against the NFL and that's tonight, is that number going to explode? Can I get a double or nothing?
No. I think that it's going to explode. Everyone's going to be watching tonight. But I think the WNBA, unfortunately, is about to see the bubble burst, at least for this season.
Right.
And I'm not saying that the Liberty and the Aces, who are going to have a great series coming up, that was the finals last year, and it was a really good series. But people aren't going to tune into that because the Caitlin factor is not invoked. Like, people will tune in, I'm saying, but I don't think it's going to break a Caitlin Clark record game.
Yeah.
You know? And the thing is that Caitlin's team is just not as good as Connecticut right now. So the odds are this thing's going to end tonight, and then we get a summer of Caitlin. I don't know how she's going to keep our attention over the summer, but I'm sure they'll find a way.
Well, I wish they were a little more than a three-game series. It's like the MLB wild card. It feels like it ends pretty soon in the WNBA. Maybe with Caitlin not quite being a championship-level team, they'll expand to five games next year because I'm sure they like these ratings. Bogus, buy breakfast?
Yeah, Maggie, you're going to be shocked to hear that I said something and Perloff only half understood it and heard it. What I said was, and here is what the pledge I will make to my tall friend, my threats of lobster, egg burritos, and steak and eggs just running up his tab, I will gentlemanly not do that because he is right contextually. He lost the bet. They did not get to 2 million viewers, but his thought process was there because of the historical thing that he just laid out.
Yeah.
Best in two decades for a postseason. It was their best ever NFL Sunday number. So the idea was correct. They just didn't get to the neighborhood of viewers that he needed.
And by the way, Maggie, I want to note that Bogus was somewhat shocked that my thought process was correct. So I think his surprise almost let me off the hook. But I appreciate that. By the way, it's 6:23 Eastern. There's nowhere to order lobster mac and cheese. There's no
where are you going to get this? There are probably seven places within a 3-block radius.
I don't know. At this hour, can you roll up a big breakfast tab? I mean, Maggie, you have to go to a Waffle House and eat 18 waffles. Even that's not going to cost you any money. I don't think you could really kill a breakfast tab that much.
Okay, challenge accepted. Why are you fighting me on this? I just said I'm not going to do it. Now you're daring me to do it.
Well, you can't get mimosas and
watch me.
Champagne. You're not allowed to drink on this job, right?
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Have you seen this place, Perloff?
Have you seen this fridge?
Half the people I walk around and see here, I think they might be a little buzzed.
I mean,
go down to the loading dock and smell what they're smoking before they're loading things on the dock.
Oh, boy.
Hey, by the way, is that not one of the scary, all right, I got to disassociate this from my life moments is when you walk by a bunch of construction workers and they're all getting high?
Yeah.
Like, uh-oh, I'm just going to keep walking. I don't even want to know. I don't want to think about what that means.
The building is definitely secure, Maggie. Don't worry about it.
I take a lot of walks with my daughter, Maggie, you know, who's 12, and it is basically walking through a weed emporium in the park now. And it's like everybody's smoking. I'm like, there are children here. I'm not going to get into this, but I feel it's like such a fuddy-duddy. I'm like, can you go somewhere a little more isolated? Anyway, I don't even want to get into that.
Wait, did I not tell you guys what happened when I went to the splash park with my kid in the middle of the day on a Monday? And then there were some people, and they were smoking marijuana, and they were outside of the gate, but just outside.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, this woman throws a shoe and says, sorry, I didn't see you there. I'm like, you didn't see me here. A 5'8 woman standing, like, you threw a shoe at me.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Well, maybe if you weren't getting blitzed at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday, but I didn't say that because it's none of my business. But I did almost get hit with a croc.
But wait, any idea why she threw the shoe?
She said she didn't see me there. She was trying to throw it to a kid or something, and over the gate, and it like whizzed by my ear.
She was trying to smuggle in Crocs into the water park?
I don't know. She's trying to throw a shoe to her kid, but she's getting high because, I don't know, not my business, not appropriate in my world, my view, but anyway, not my business, and I'm not about to start lecturing someone on parenting, but almost hit me in the face.
In this case, you might be, okay, dude, I mean, if the roles were reversed and you threw one of those size nines at someone, I mean, you could cause a lot of damage.
I'd be sitting in a jail cell right now.
Yeah. And block out the sun.
Deadly weapon.
Yeah, block out the sun. Those things are so big.
My giant shoes are just, you don't want to mess with me. It's like nunchucks.
Yeah. All right. I think there's some people out there who want to support me that I was close enough I don't have to pay the bet. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. Let's go to D in Portland. D, do you think I should pay the bet and buy everyone breakfast?
Perloff, I'm going to tell you something right now. A long time ago, I had a bet with one of my coworkers, and it was about Cowboys and Eagles and them playing, and I won. It was like a $20 bet. Dude said, oh, I can't afford it. I can't pay you. I was like, all right, don't worry about it right now. Never pay me the bet. After a year, I was like, don't worry about it. Ever since then, I always look at them different, but for a while, no matter big or small, you got to pay up, bro. Mm. You got to. I'm Team Maggie right there. If you don't, shame. Big shame. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, D. Shame, Maggie. Shame. Is that, you know, and he's right, by the way. You do have to pay off your bets. Unfortunately, we've learned that the hard way.
Yeah, well, around here, we've made like a cottage industry in it. But you're right. You do always look at somebody a little bit differently if they don't pay off the bet. It is so true, which is why we always make sure we pay them off, which is why Perloff's going to San Antonio. It's why I ate tuna jelly with olives in it and all the silly things we do.
Actually, you ate jelly, a jar of jelly, and then you ate tuna jello. Yeah, and I know you're not feeling perfect right now. Actually, I can see you turning green in real time. Do you remember that tuna jello you had? It was lime jello with tuna fish and olives floating around. Do you remember that?
I'm fundamentally a different person after that. I've changed. I'm no longer the one.
Do you remember that thing decaying so quickly on the desk? To the naked eye, you could see it falling apart.
Yeah, that was bad. I tried to bite and gag me.
I can't believe you did.
All right, let's. I don't want to ruin this breakfast I'm buying for everybody. Let's get into some headlines there, Bogus.
And the headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. As my good friend Bill Pito likes to say, we have a developing situation, and it comes from UNLV's quarterbacks, the starter, Matt Sluka, announcing last night he will not play for the Runner Rebels anymore because, quote, certain representations have not been upheld. That sounds like an NIL deal or two falling through. But there are reports that Sluka was simply offered something better to sit out, transfer, and play elsewhere next season. He's only played in 3 games this year, so he can redshirt by playing 4 or less, and then get this year back and use it somewhere else next fall.
Oh, so is he going to be like Cam Rising and play 8 years? By the way, you're friends with Bill Pito? That's awesome.
Yeah, that's my name drop.
That's really cool.
You got Andy Dalton, I got Bill Pito. Very similar.
Is this controversial? Like, actually, like, this is a business now. It's college. Like, he doesn't have a contract, so I actually have no problem with him doing this.
No, it's personally amazing for me because this dude just played 4 years at Holy Cross. And
he's already played 4 years.
And he's so good. And now here he is. Like, now we've seen a lot of different permutations of NIL stuff, but I don't think we've seen a player go, I'm done because promises were not kept. So I'll see you guys later. Have fun finishing the year without me.
Well, college has NIL now. They're still trying. They're a full-on professional league. We all know that. There's nothing that's not pro about college football, but they're still trying to thread the needle, and they don't give players full rights, and they're not, you know, they don't have player contracts. So I say screw him. You know what? I'm sorry. I don't think that's a popular take, but I do not mind any player who's going for more money.
No, I don't mind it either. It's just interesting that he's taking such a stance a handful of games into the season.
And I don't know. I don't know how this ended up, but Jaden Rashada, who was at Florida, remember, he had transferred because and then sued Billy Napier and Florida because they didn't meet whatever NIL agreement that apparently was a $9.5 million deal. So that was that kind of the first time we've seen like a player not only decommit and leave a school, but then also sue the school. And I'm wondering if there are going to be more situations like this moving forward as we kind of deal with this wild, wild west of NIL.
Yeah, I mean, the NCAA ruling is there will be more of a pay-for-play thing, and they're trying to organize this next year. But they have these collectives, right? Like,
yeah.
Does anyone know the rules from year to year, what's going on here? It feels like the NCAA is changing everything every month. They have some new kind of proposal, and then the courts are saying something different. So is anybody surprised by this?
No, and I don't think there are a lot of things, there are not like guardrails in place to protect players from this. From, you know, if the story is simply, hey, you told me you're going to give me $5 and you only gave me $3 and you say you're not giving me the other $2, like, there's not a lot of ways for the players to get to fight this except doing this. Yeah. Going, all right, and then I'm out.
Or a lawsuit, like Jaden Rashada. So I wouldn't be surprised if there were more of them. Although that thing has become a huge mess, right, EJ?
Yeah, I mean, he's a nice thing now. He's at Arizona State, but that is not a lawsuit that hasn't been settled yet. So I think Florida's going to have to go to court on this at some point. And this could also be one of those kind of landmark situations regarding kind of how NIL gets distributed moving forward.
Totally. It sounds like, though, it's against Billy Napier, right? He might have a lot of time to sit in court down the road.
Let's stay in Vegas and recap the last 36 hours or so for those Raiders. Andy Dalton brought the Panthers to town and rolled to a double-digit win. After saying that certain guys made business decisions during the loss, head coach Antonio Pierce opened the door for a quarterback change.
I think we got to get with the players and just, you know, evaluate everything from yesterday first.
That's because Aiden O'Connell finished the game for starter Gardner Minshew. Now the report saying that Minshew will keep his job, and a switch was never really under consideration in Vegas. Under center in Miami, Skylar Thompson still dealing with Sunday's chest injury, so maybe Tim Boyle or Snoop Huntley starts Monday night against the Titans, which might explain Mike McDaniel's incoherent rambling yesterday.
You have to open up your mind to a plethora of different solutions, considering your current answers objectively you could evaluate are haven't been the right ones.
Hello, ayahuasca.
By the way, you know, we have a theory. It was Chris Lopresti's theory that Aaron Rodgers is being dared to sneak unusual words into his.
Oh, I think we lost Maggie there again.
Watch her talk. She sounds like she's making a good point. Good point.
Mike Tomlin said myriad. I think nobody tells Mike Tomlin what to say.
No, Tomlin just knows those things.
When you're struggling and you just got killed, you can't play that press conference game, right? Like, no. Aaron Rodgers looks good. He can throw in bolero and weird stuff. McDaniel can't do that, right?
No, but here's the question. Whether it is a hurt Skylar Thompson or Tim Boyle or Snoop Huntley, do they still have the better quarterback in this game? Because the other guys, Will Levis.
That's a great question. I mean, so that's our Monday night. It's a doubleheader, though.
It's a double, and this.
Thank God.
This is the first game, I think.
Well, do you remember last year that Titans Dolphins game became the game of the year? Will Levis caught fire at the end. That might be the worst quarterback tandem I've heard in a long time. Nothing against Snoop Huntley. I like Snoop Huntley, but Tim Boyle and Snoop Huntley is not who you want under center.
No. No, 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 no.
That's some real hardcore NFL analysis.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hear that, Mag? That was some X's and O's right there.
Yeah. Great breakdown. Yeah. No, Snoop Huntley and Tim Boyle, the rap group you never wanted to ever hear from, ever. It's like, oh, Snoop Dogg and Nate Dogg? Like, no, it's Snoop Huntley and Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle threw a sick pass to Jalen Waddle on Sunday. It looked great. And the announcer's like, well, maybe we got something here. The next pass was one of the worst passes I've ever seen an NFL quarterback throw. But, you know, I love all backup quarterbacks, so I'm going to support this situation. I'm not writing off the Dolphins in this situation. Just let Will Levis beat himself.
There needs to be an investigation into why Tim Boyle is an NFL quarterback. I'm still trying to figure.
I thought he's everyone's best friend. I thought everyone likes him.
That has to be it, because watching the Jets last year, I've seen some bad quarterback play. He's the worst Jets quarterback I've ever seen.
Whoa.
Ever.
Whoa.
Impossible.
He was horrendous.
He's not good.
And then I really thought, well, I mean, I don't know, he's Aaron Rodgers' buddy. Like, maybe he can do some things. I mean, he doesn't have an arm. He's not accurate. He can't read the field. I'm like, excuse me, like, is this a Bishop Sycamore situation where some of this guy is pretending to be an NFL quarterback? How is he playing in the NFL?
It's pretty fascinating, and it goes against everything that teams tell you about, like, we make only decisions about winning. It's the most important position in all of sports, and yet they let the starter dictate his backup like nothing else. Like, oh, I don't want competition, so get rid of Joe Flacco. Oh, Tim Boyle and I play checkers really well, so make him the backup. And God forbid I get hurt and he plays, our season is screwed. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but I think I bet the over on completions once for Tim Boyle in one game last year. I think it was the Black Friday game, was 27 for 38.
He threw a Hail Mary pick six. Never been done before in the NFL.
I just think to say, I mean, you're throwing out a huge statement. Did he say he's the worst Jets quarterback?
The worst Jets quarterback.
Wait,
I have ever seen.
I've got one for you. Obviously, it's got to be Christian Hackenberg. Second-round pick, never got on the field. Literally never took a snap in an NFL game. He's got to be the worst.
Well, he never played. That's what I'm saying. I mean, a Jet quarterback that I've seen play football. I know I'm not counting preseason with Christian Hackenberg. In terms of actually starting a game or getting in the game, I've seen Greg McElroy, good college quarterback, terrible NFL quarterback. I've seen, I've seen the worst. Okay?
I wrote out a list
here. Chris Streveler.
I mean, at least that guy could run.
Well, Chris Streveler is actually, he's decent.
Yeah.
Brooks Bollinger
was way better than this guy. I think he might have won a game.
What about Tebow?
Tebow never played quarterback.
My buddy Jay Fever was a Jet, I'm seeing. He was okay.
Yeah.
He was a good player in Miami.
Yeah, but how about Zach Wilson? Zach Wilson was pretty bad.
I mean, look, Zach Wilson got benched for this guy, so maybe that's a good point. But again, I've seen Zach Wilson. I saw him beat the Bengals. Like, I mean, what? Can you imagine Tim Boyle trying to beat any team?
Did Tebow was a Jet, right?
He was a Jet, yeah.
Did he ever play quarterback?
I don't think he ever started. I feel like.
Did we discuss this 90 seconds?
Yeah,
ago?
I was saying, I don't think he actually played. He might have been in some Wildcat tight end situation.
Oh, did you say Tebow?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And EJ said he never played quarterback.
Oh,
and I went, oh,
whatever.
Good point.
I was having technical difficulties. I was Googling old Jets quarterbacks, and sometimes the research team is not robust here. I had to look up Browning Nagel's stats because Nico is not doing anything over there.
Our research team is all Tim Boyles.
Yeah, Rick Meyer. How about that? All right. Get us off the Jets.
The Yankees did not win the AL East last night because the Orioles clinched a playoff spot instead, 5-3 in the Bronx. It has not been a straight line to a second consecutive postseason for Brandon Hyde's team.
It's been a tough few months, you know, and it's been, I'm just so proud of our guys that continue to fight. We got some guys back. You know, I feel good about our team. And played really well tonight.
The Orioles control that division for a while, but don't right now. However, it is still technically possible for them to win the AL East. They'd have to win their last five games, including two more at the Yankees, and have those Bombers lose all of their weekend games as well.
I love how it's like, listen, we're really locked in. We're dialed in to get the highest seed as possible. In the background, it's like, like pouring beer on each other. No, we're dialed in. We're locked in. This is we're focused. Finish out the season strong. Sure you are.
The Padres clinched a playoff spot with a 4-2 win at Dodger Stadium. They're now two games behind LA in the West, and the Astros won the AL West 4-3 over the Mariners. It's their fourth division title in a row, seventh in 8 years, and we've got our first WNBA semifinal. The Aces closing out the Storm 83-76 behind 29 points from Kelsey Plum. After the Liberty woke up the Dream 91-82, Sabrina Ionescu scoring 36 in that one. Vegas and New York start their best of five on Sunday in Brooklyn. Pearl, back to you.
I think you undersold that Padres game there a little bit, isn't that?
We got time.
Okay, because there was some
some
unusual stuff going on there in LA. All right, we'll do baseball later in the show. I have a broadcasting conundrum, and I think, Maggie, I think you're really good at evaluating broadcasters. I know this, I'm looking at my rundown, and it's later on the show, but I need to talk about the new guy who wants to get into the booth. I think it is going to be a long, long national nightmare. That's coming up next, Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Perloff here in the New York studio. Maggie is in the home man cave sporting her Buffalo Bills and New York Mets gear. Ugh. Sorry, no. You look good. The Mets t-shirt is kind of nauseating me. But speaking of being nauseated, LeBron James, our buddy, our friend, was on the Gojo and Golic podcast, which, by the way, that is awesome for our buddies Gojo and Golic. I'm so psyched. That must be an Ohio thing. EJ and I were discussing how did they book LeBron James and how do we book LeBron James. Heck, we take Bronny or Bryce. Let's give us any James. But that was pretty amazing. But LeBron was asked about broadcasting it and whether he'd be into it at all. Let's hear what
he
had to say.
I don't know. You know, I definitely love the sport. You know, I love basketball. I love football. You know, and I watch it not only as a fan, but also – you know, just breaking down, you know, matchups and things of that nature. I was brought into sports. When you grow up in Northeast Ohio, listen, you grow up in sports.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like he's open to it. Then he also said something about Tom Brady, which I was surprised by.
You know, it'd be great. You know, I see Tom Brady doing it. You know, he's been great so far. And we will see, even if it's just a guest appearance, you know, one game or two, you know, when I'm done playing. But it's always fun to give back to the game.
So, Maggie, you've been somewhat critical of Tom Brady's broadcasting career through three games. LeBron says he's great, so I guess you were wrong.
Yeah, LeBron always tells the truth. You know, the whole funny thing about giving back to the game, Brady's making $300 million. Who's giving what to who? I kind of feel like Brady's getting the better end of this deal here because he's not being really critical and I feel like he's not actually telling me what he's seeing. He's giving me some kind of whitewash version of what he's seeing because he's not comfortable yet with broadcast mechanics, and that's fine, and hopefully he grows into it. But I do not believe for a second that LeBron James would give us the truth about any of these guys. First of all, he runs an agency. So why would you ever be critical of a potential future client? That makes no sense. And make no mistake, LeBron is there with Clutch. That is his outfit. And secondly, I think LeBron obviously wants to own a team and a team in Vegas. So he's basically just following a Tom Brady playbook. It's not so much because like Brady's doing a great job. He just sees the path. Brady's going to be a part owner of the Raiders at some point. And LeBron wants to be part of the ownership group. And whenever the NBA expands to Vegas, he's basically just doing karaoke Tom Brady. He's just copying him.
Well, also, isn't Brady in on the WNBA team in Vegas as well? Or am I imagining that?
Sure, probably.
Yeah,
that
so,
sounds right.
I think LeBron is a guy who wants to do it all. I think he is going to still be a big part of Clutch. I think he is going to try to buy a team. But I guarantee, I'm so confident that he will have a mic in front of him when he retires because I think he loves the, this sounds mean, I think he loves the attention. That sounds way too pejorative. What I mean is, like, I think he wants to share his thoughts. You heard it there. Is LeBron ever held back? He'll weigh in on things like movies he's never even seen. He'll opine on. The guy is just one of those guys. You might even call him, I'll say it, he's a bit of a millennial. He feels like he kind of is an expert on everything because he grew up with the internet. Sorry, that sounds mean. I know I work with a lot of millennials here.
Yeah.
But I do think that he's going to want to talk. I don't think LeBron's going anywhere. I think he's going to be front and center in our lives. And I honestly think he'd rather be a broadcaster than a team owner in a sense. Like, I think he's going to want to talk, and he's really good at it, too. It'll be a podcast. It'll be a Manning cast. Or it'll be maybe doing color on the NBA Finals. I mean, other great players have gone that path. I know Michael Jordan went the opposite way. But why would LeBron not be a broadcaster?
I think he could be. I don't know if he's going to be any good at it, though. But I know that they'll pay him tons and tons and tons of money. Now, would he go and sit there with Charles Barkley and Shaq and do one of those type of things where, you know, you're like ribbing each other and making fun of each other? They don't really do that on The Shop. The Shop is set up kind of like you would think they would poke fun at each other, but they don't really. It's more about, you know, just roundtable discussion topics. And I like the show, but I don't know if LeBron, does he laugh at himself? Does he poke fun at himself? Maybe with his hairline a little bit, but I don't know if he's like that.
On The Shop, he does a little bit. He's really good. You're right. The Shop is a totally different format.
It's not live either.
I'm going to predict right now, and I'd even do a show bet, I think he's going to do straight broadcasting. I think he's going to call games.
Like as a full-time, like a full-timer in that, like he does once a week, or like he's like the ABC number one guy.
He's
once
like
a
Reggie
week.
Miller?
Right. Like, what do you mean by that?
I think it's someday he will try that. I know that sounds like a lot, and the, you know, he's the second GOAT. Even though I'm a Jordan guy, he's definitely in the 1-2 combination of the greatest players of all time, and it'd be weird. But I think he's going to be much more aggressive as a broadcaster than you guys do. And even this, what he just said, you know, I like to get back to the game. He's leaving the door open. He's much more of a natural than Tom Brady.
I agree with you. I think you guys are talking about the shop. I'm going back to the podcast that only I liked on this show, his podcast with J.J. Redick, and how he really does enjoy telling people how much he knows about basketball. So I think what you're getting from Tom Brady, which I think in part is because, quite frankly, he can't go to these practices and talk to these coaches. I think that's kind of being understated why he's so bad. But LeBron, assuming he doesn't have that issue, I think you'll see LeBron like really get into the game and perhaps maybe be a little too in the weeds with what's going on, because he does like to tell people how smart he is.
Wait, here's a question. You guys really think LeBron is going to be sitting there next to, name your person, Brian Anderson on a Tuesday in Milwaukee in February to call a game that Giannis probably isn't even playing in?
Well,
no shot.
Here's the thing. I mean, retired athletes do not want to stay at home all day. That is, he'd gladly go to Milwaukee. I don't, only one of us here has called NBA games, Andrew Bogish. What if you showed up on a Tuesday and you were assigned LeBron James as your partner here? Do you think it'd be good?
Whole other universe.
Do you think he would be good?
I do think he would be good. I think, to EJ's point, there's always going to be the Pete Bellotti that doesn't want to hear LeBron say anything and will like miss the fact that he's saying really good things. But I agree more with Maggie that he's got bigger aspirations here. He does not even want to be sitting next to Mike Breen at the NBA Finals. I think he wants to do Peyton Manning stuff, and I think he wants to own a team. So if that's the goal. So if he does broadcasting, it's just to kill time until there's a team to buy. And then he can be an owner, and then he can be like Magic and be in front of cameras all the time, or Jerry Jones talking about his team and the NBA then.
Wow.
Can I make a prediction for Tom Brady, by the way?
Yeah.
One and done.
Okay. Mm.
I don't see this being like the start of him being the next Madden. And listen, he actually has gotten better over these three games because he's done basically all Cowboys games, so we've been watching them pretty closely, even if, you know, They're doing huge ratings and all that. I just think he's gotten better. He does not seem like this does not seem like a joy to him at all. Perloff, you and I saw him at Fanatics Fest, and he was talking to a group of probably, what, were there 2,000 people in that room?
Yeah.
And he was amped. I mean, he was into it. He was talking about, you know, all these opinions and thoughts that he had about football, and it was like he was shot out of a cannon. That is not the guy that I'm hearing on these games. I don't think he likes this as much as he thought he was going
to. I think you're probably right, but I would bet you on that because of the money. I would think the money would keep him in. Also, I watched a re-air of that Cowboys Ravens. He looks tremendous in the booth. Oh my God.
Tom Brady. He always looks great.
Right, he's going to stay there so you can look at him and swoon?
Well, I actually, you know, because I've been flipping around a lot, he's been in windows where there are a lot of better games. I don't know. I just think the look is spot on. But one thing about LeBron's going to sit there and watch Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade on TV. You don't think that he's going to get jealous of his buddies and say, I want to do that too?
He's going to do something better. He's gonna be Peyton. He'll find an Eli, and they'll have like one of those ultimate broadcasts.
Maybe him and JJ, if JJ gets fired after this year, that they can bring back the podcast. I know it doesn't make any sense for a guy at that level to be a color guy sitting next to Andrew Bogish on a Wednesday night in Indiana calling game. By the way, Bogish and LeBron, that would work.
Yeah. No, Eagle and LeBron seems more likely, but thank you.
Yeah. And LeBron and Ian Eagle, that would be funny.
That would be great.
Ian Eagle makes everybody funny.
Ian could call a game with a mop, and it would be like an Emmy Award-winning broadcast.
All right, we got to talk about another GOAT who will probably be a broadcaster, and I don't know if everybody will be into him, but there's a certain Jets quarterback who's throwing some teammates under the bus. We'll dive into that next, right here, Maggie and Perloff Show.